Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, June 13th. I'm Katie Brown. Today, Bike Santa Cruz County is hosting Cycle Fest 2026 in Midtown Santa Cruz. KAZU's Jillian Smith reports.
Board member Steven Speet says the event is designed to bring more people into the cycling community.
We're seeing a growth in riders and a growth in infrastructure. And that's exactly what we want to see. That's what our work is for.
Speet says Santa Cruz continues to invest in bike-friendly infrastructure and expects cycling to keep growing. The free event features a community ride, youth bike rodeo, live music, food trucks, and a raffle that includes a donated e-bike. Speet says he hopes the event will encourage more residents to consider biking as a safe, sustainable, and joyful way to get around. Jillian Smith, KAZU News.
Over in Santa Clara County, folks will rally outside for a very different reason. This afternoon, there will be a No Kings protest outside the Amazon data center in Gilroy. The demonstration was organized to protest federal plans for an immigration and customs enforcement facility nearby. Rebecca Armendariz is with CARAS, Community Agency for Resources, Advocacy, and Services in Santa Clara County.
We want folks to remember the connection between ICE and data centers.
Armendariz says Amazon provides cloud and data storage services to tech companies that work with ICE. These companies have provided facial recognition software and AI tools to identify potential targets for ICE arrests and deportations. For example, Armendariz says Amazon has partnered with tech company Palantir, and more funding has emboldened the agency.
ICE now has an extremely large budget to hire and to build more infrastructure.
She also warns attempts to reopen a former federal women's prison in Dublin as Northern California's first ICE detention center could make it easier to carry out raids.
From the Central Coast to the Bay Area, having a processing center and having a detention center so nearby is going to impact all of us. None of our communities is safe. So we need to push back and fight back everywhere, from Dublin to Gilroy to the whole state and across the country.
California and Santa Clara County are also fighting back. They have sued the Trump administration over the proposed ICE facility in Gilroy. Here's Santa Clara County Council Tony LaPresti at a press conference on Wednesday.
Our suit sends a simple message. In this county and in this state, the law doesn't yield to the Trump administration's crusade against the immigrant community.
As the weather heats up, fire departments want communities to be prepared for emergencies. Aaron Malsbury has that update.
Monterey Fire Chief Patrick Moore says Northern California might be a bit drier than Southern California this year.
But those, you know, just modeling based on predictions, you know, it's been already unseasonably warm in our community, so it dries out grass. So it kind of depends how the summer months go.
He reminds people to keep plants and flammable materials like wood piles away from homes.
We're doing our part with helping with vegetation management, fuel reductions, defensible space inspections, our response to the areas. But it's a partnership, right, with our communities.
The Monterey Fire Department recently used a grant to clear defensible space around Don Davi Park. The grant came from the Wildfire Safety and Preparedness Program, which is funded by PG&E and distributed through the California Fire Foundation. CFF Executive Director Angie Carmignani says nonprofits and tribal groups can also apply in a new round.
It's opened this week, and then it'll go through July 8th.
Firefighter and CFF board member Ross Pounds says now the city of Monterey wants to purchase equipment that makes fuel reduction efforts more effective, because there's always more work to do.
Fire season is all year round in California now.
Each Central Coast county has text alert programs for staying up to date about warnings and evacuations.
That was KAZU's Aaron Malsbury. The 2026 FIFA World Cup began this week, and the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk plans a world soccer celebration. Boardwalk spokesperson Chris Reyes says it will be the first time they've broadcast a live sporting event.
It just made perfect sense to have a watch party on the beach in Santa Cruz.
The beach viewings will be for matches on June 24th through June 28th. This week also brought news of California State Parks Week, which began Wednesday. Aaron Malsbury has that one.
Santa Cruz District Interpreter Rhiannon Sims views the role of state parks as bringing the community together.
There's something for everyone, and we can highlight all of the many different, you know, natural, cultural, and recreational resources.
In Monterey County, Parks Interpreter Richard Fletcher says often people don't realize everything the parks have to offer.
It's a great way for people to fall in love with parks all over again.
California State Parks Week runs through June 14th.
That was KAZU's Aaron Malsbury with reporting from Jillian Smith. Related to the great outdoors, a bill encouraging outdoor education is advancing in Sacramento. KAZU's Amy Mayer has that update.
It aims to build outdoor education into the K-12 curriculum. The bill would also create a pilot program to evaluate how the addition affects student learning. Katie Reniker is the executive director of Carmel-based Me Earth, which offers students outdoor and experiential opportunities. She says the impacts are clear.
Kids learning in an outdoor setting where they're using their hands and connecting with nature and just experiencing learning with their whole body solidifies the learning that they would be getting in a more profound way than just sitting in a classroom looking at a board.
She's hopeful the attention from state leaders will bring this type of learning to more California students. The bill passed the Assembly unanimously last month.
That was KAZU's Amy Mayer, who reported the Senate began discussions about the bill this week. Also, three Monterey County school districts made headlines this week with unexpected news. Soledad Unified School District and both Santa Rita Union and Graves Elementary in Salinas are under investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice. KAZU's Elena Neal Sachs reports.
Soledad Unified School District Superintendent Randy Banks started his week with a letter from the DOJ announcing a compliance review.
We had no expectation that this was coming.
According to a DOJ press release, the review will examine whether the districts are allowing parents to opt their children out of instruction involving topics like sexual orientation and gender identity.
Right now, we're on our first step, which is to gather the information that's been requested.
The review will also look at bathroom policies related to gender.
We aim to follow the prevailing laws, be they federal or state, to that point on restroom access.
No federal law requires school districts to limit access to bathrooms or locker rooms based on a person's sex assigned at birth. And California law explicitly allows people to use the ones that correspond with their gender identity. Banks says he'll comply with the review and that the district will continue supporting all students. The Justice Department did not respond to questions in time for this story.
KAZU's Elena Neal Sachs also reported out another story related to gender identity this week. Here's that update.
A health care non-discrimination bill authored by Central Coast Assembly member Don Addis is moving forward in the state legislature. The Fair Care for All Act would ensure
that no individual is excluded from health care coverage or services based on a protected class.
That was Addis during a recent Senate Health Committee hearing. Her bill defines sex discrimination to include any discrimination on the basis of gender identity, sexual orientation, or sex stereotypes.
Really, this is a very, very simple bill that codifies discrimination protections that are already in federal law. So it just takes those anti-discrimination provisions and puts those into state law.
She cites the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle discrimination protections as a reason to codify them in state law now.
That was KAZU's Elena Neal Sachs. The Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors is pushing back against the Trump administration's plans to expand offshore drilling and seabed mining, including off the Central Coast. Here's Aaron Malsbury.
On Tuesday, marine scientist George Leonard with Save Our Shores told county supervisors drilling and mining would increase air pollution, accelerate climate change, and threaten local ecosystems and economies.
The administration has not ruled out drilling in our national marine sanctuaries, including the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary off our coast. So what this means is that Santa Cruz really can't sit back and simply rely on existing protections to counter what is essentially a rogue federal government.
Local governments can't control what happens in federal waters, just 3 miles offshore, but they can deny permits to develop onshore support. The board voted unanimously to put a measure before voters this fall to strengthen and update current protections. It doesn't outlaw facilities, but it requires voter approval for any new development.
That was KAZU's Aaron Malsbury. To finish off this week's news, let's listen to Ngozi Cole's final feature story as a reporter for KAZU. Amy Mayer has the intro.
Me Memorial Hospital in King City hasn't had a labor and delivery unit for 6 years. But since then, family medicine doctors with additional training in obstetrics have stepped in to help pregnant patients in South Monterey County get prenatal care. KAZU's health reporter Ngozi Cole spoke to one.
At Me Memorial Hospital in King City, Dr. Ruth Pedraza sees about 25 patients a day. As a family medicine physician, she treats people of all ages, from babies to the elderly, and that pool includes some who are pregnant.
We see the pregnant patient. We can follow them after for just their regular, you know, screenings, like regular well checks, pap smears, all that, but also we can see their child too.
Pervaza did an obstetrics fellowship at the county's public hospital, Natividad, in Salinas, where she trained to do vaginal deliveries and C-sections and to manage high-risk pregnancies. Babies in South County still have to be delivered at major hospitals in Salinas, but Pedraza makes sure expectant moms know that prenatal testing, which helps prevent stillbirths, is also available at Me Memorial.
I sometimes talk to the patients and I'm like, why don't we do it once here and once over there? Either like, I have no transportation. Great, we can do twice here in the clinic.
This level of care is important in rural areas, where hospitals have been hit hardest by financial challenges and staffing shortages. Data from the California Hospital Association shows that more than 50 maternity care units have shut down or been suspended over the last decade. Association President Kamala Coyle says hospitals have to think creatively about filling these gaps.
Are we able to integrate others into the labor and delivery team so that they might not be totally dependent on just an OBGYN, as an example? Of course, OBGYNs are central to the team. But can we think about how we can use our healthcare workforce more flexibly?
But some experts say this doesn't fully serve pregnant patients. Alicia McGregor, a maternal health researcher at Harvard, has studied the impact of maternity ward closures across the U.S. Her research has found that patients who gave birth when the nearest labor and delivery unit closed had a higher risk of having complications during childbirth than those who gave birth at a hospital closer to home.
Just having a family medicine doc available for sort of prenatal care or outpatient care doesn't solve the problem of not having a place available for sort of a safe delivery.
A safe delivery and a healthy family is the goal. Marina is a farm worker in Greenfield who asked us not to use her last name. She gave birth to her first two children when Me Memorial's labor and delivery unit was still open, just 15 minutes away. But baby one was born at Natividad, about 45 minutes from home. Marina got her prenatal care at Me Memorial's other clinic in Greenfield and says she appreciated the convenience, but still she wishes she didn't have to travel so far to give birth. She says, King City is much closer than Salinas, and sometimes your water breaks and things happen very quickly. It's okay, but it would be better if they reopened the hospital in King City. As hospitals across the country grapple with how to properly support moms like Marina, lawmakers are also trying to help patients and providers. In California, a new law will help require critical access hospitals to have standby perinatal services. And a proposed federal bill aims to help labor and delivery units stay open in rural areas, so babies like Juan can be born closer to home.
That was reporting from Ngozi Cole. Her story was produced with the assistance of the Journalism and Women's Symposium Health Journalism Fellowship, supported by the Commonwealth Fund. And now, a word from our news director, Amy Mayer.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to Monterey Bay This Week. Our news roundup was the brainchild of three KAZU reporters, Katie Brown, Ngozi Cole, and Elena Neal Sachs. Together, they thought about what to include, how to manage the ongoing production, and what to offer in the pod that wasn't available elsewhere. I'm looking at you, Extended Interviews. This team has been honored with multiple awards. Some details are still embargoed, but watch our website Monday for the news. Congrats to all three, plus Aaron Malsbury and Scott Cohn. This month, we're saying goodbye to Elena and Ngozi. It's a time of change for KAZU, and we're looking forward to what the next chapter will bring. Monterey Bay Today and Monterey Bay This Week will continue. but we're going to miss Ngozi and Elena. We wish them well and thank them for their reporting, camaraderie, and passion for telling Central Coast stories.
That's it for Monterey Bay this week. Thanks for tuning in to our news roundup. This episode was produced by me, Katie Brown. It included reporting from Jillian Smith, Aaron Malsbury, Amy Mayer, Elena Neal Sachs, Ngozi Cole, and me. Our editor and news director is Amy Mayer. We'll be back with more local news next week.